Ladies and gentlemen, I know we read an average Joe tweet promo there. Nothing average about this guy. It's Joe Sheehan, the author of the Joe Sheehan newsletter. You can follow him at joesheehan.com. Joe_Sheehan on Twitter. What do you know? It's Joe Sheehan. How you doing, Joe? What's happening, man?
Supporting my guy, Hansel Rincon.
hey, take that hat off. By the way, Doug Eddings, can we just start?
Messes up my hair, so I don't wanna.
Doug Eddings, what was that? You're telling guys how to wear their hat now? What year is this, Doug? Get out of here.
And it's not like Doug Eddings is this highly respected umpire. You know, you go back to 2005, he made that terrible call in the ALCS and then lied about it. He called a strikeout on AJ Pierzynski, then basically changed his mind. It changed the whole course of that ALCS, that playoff series. He's been known for having massive. I mean, Doug Eddings is a guy that if you reach the plate on a fly, he would call it a strike. He's one of the best reasons to have the ABS challenge system now. So, I just completely out of line saying that to a guy. And then worse yet, after the game, he tagged in Hunter Goodman. He basically said that Hunter Goodman brought it up to him and kind of made it sound like he was basically, backing up Goodman when he brought it up. So just terrible. He did apologize. He did. And let's give him credit for that. But, Eddings is one of these guys. I have a thesis, guys, that umpires should have their jobs for 15 years. Pay them really, really well. Get them in the game young. And then after 15 years, they're forced retirement. Because then you don't get these guys that feel like they're bigger than the game.
It's a great call. It's a great call. I talked about manager of the year yesterday, American League and National League. I broke it down by the numbers. I'm curious your thoughts, first of all, on who you would bet for manager of the year right now. And I'm curious if it jibes with what I was talking about yesterday.
I agree with you as far as the American League. I think it's got to be a Will Venable. I keep calling him Max. Max is his dad.
Yeah.
Will Venable, this team won 41 games 2 years ago. They're probably going to make the playoffs this year. The Manager of the Year award is more a narrative award, and specifically an award that's as much about what we thought about the team as what the manager actually does. A lot of what a manager does is invisible to us on the outside, and even to reporters, a lot of that stuff is unavailable. So it really becomes, we thought you were X, you turned out to be this much better than X, and we're going to give all of the credit for that to the manager. In this case, I don't have a problem with it. A lot of this roster has only played in the major leagues under Venable. Venable's done a really good job with, really no catcher all year with Kyle Teal being hurt. They only had two outfielders for much of the year. I think he gets a lot of credit, earned a lot of credit for the work that he did there. So I think Venable is the choice in the AL. But I do want to make the point that Chad Tracy, and I know I'm talking my own book here because I gave out Tracy on the show at 28-1. I think Kelly, unfortunately, followed me on that one. It's probably not going to happen. Now, you brought up yesterday the wins that a team has relative to its preseason expectations, the Vegas lines.
Yes, sir.
That's true. The Red Sox aren't going to hit their number. But they started out 9-19 under Alex Cora. 10-17. Under Chad Tracy, they're 70-48. That's a 99 win pace. And it's actually the second best record in the American League to the Rays. They're a game behind the Rays since Tracy took over. So I think comparing them to their preseason number isn't entirely fair to Tracy. And I make a similar case in the National League. Don Mattingly took over a Phillies team that was 9-19. He's gone 72-44 with them. That's 101 win pace. So looking at the preseason number again, the work that he did is actually above their preseason number, but he's saddled with that 9-19. Now, again, most of the time, it's just how did the team do relative to expectations? But with these two situations where the two managers taking over after bad starts, I think you've really got to look at how the team performed under them rather than just the numbers themselves.
I think that's a great point, Joe, on both counts. I think your instinct on Venable with the White Sox is still the correct one, despite that no one loves the Red Sox more than me, right? For what they did in July and what they might be doing here in September. But I think I think just the way we perceive the White Sox is right, probably going to override that Chad Tracy note. But what about the Latin? I'll leave it at this. The other thing that I brought about in the National League was there's never been a back-to-back-to-back manager of the year. So to give it to Pat Murphy of the Brewers, who is the short shot right now, would be history. Do you think voters would be unwilling to do that through the lens of history? Do they care about that?
It is a different set of voters for each of these awards every year. Remember, it's not like, I know the NBA, I want to say it's the same pool pretty much every year. In MLB, the four major awards rotate through each chapter of the BBWAA. So two guys from New York, two guys from Phoenix, two guys from Oakland, Sacramento, whatever. And it's a different set each year. So I don't know that you can say, well, there's voter fatigue. because it's a different set of voters. The guys who are voting for manager of the year in the National League this year are going to be different than the ones that voted last year. We're going to probably be different from the ones that voted 2 years ago. So I don't know that you can say, well, they did it last year, they did it the year before. There isn't going to be voter fatigue because the voters aren't actually tired. It's a different set of voters. I personally think we've gone too far in the direction of, oh, let's give it to the small market team that exceeded expectations by the most. I would personally give it to Weiss. And that shocks me because I didn't think he was a very good manager in Colorado. But you look at what he's done with that bullpen. You look at what they've done with so many injuries to that lineup. I think he's done the best job of any manager this year. I think we don't give enough credit to guys with the hardest jobs. I look at Aaron Boone. I look at Dave Roberts. I'm not voting for them, but we've basically eliminated guys with high expectations at the start of the year.
Yeah.
When if you actually look at the work they've had to do, again, through injuries, particularly for Dave Roberts, all his pitching injuries, I don't think we give those guys enough credit.
All right, rapid fire, final three things. One, did you take the Shohei announcement to mean no pitching in the playoffs either?
I did. I haven't expected him to pitch for a while now. I think they'll shut him down. They'll make sure. Because, guys, if you look at him, it's really, the knee is affecting his hitting now. They've got to get him healthy enough to hit, not worry about the pitching. They obviously have so many arms they can use. It's not about volume. And, yeah, you will miss his upside. But right now, they've got to focus on getting him straight as a hitter.
All right, Phillies. You're on the Phillies today.
Yeah, this might be an offline. I got to admit, minus 130 at Caesars. It's 140, 145 elsewhere. Andrew Painter's been great since coming off the IL in July, going up against an Astros team that, frankly, just isn't very good. 65-79, third-order record. There's a big gap between these two teams. The Phillies also got to reset their bullpen yesterday after working it hard over the weekend with that Jesus Luzardo shutout. So give me the Phillies over the Astros.
All right, and you have two futures for us, not just one, but two. What are they?
The Yankees to win the division. I saw this as high as plus 425. They're four games back of the Rays. The gap in the schedules over the next 2 weeks is massive. The Yankees are going to get to play the Rockies and Mets at home this week. Then they'll go to Minnesota and Arizona. The Rays, they do play the Athletics, but you've got the Red Sox in there. You've got the Astros in there. They play the Braves this week. The pitching's really starting to fall apart, guys. The bullpen's been bottom six in baseball over the last 30 days. The rotation, Rasmussen's over his career innings high. Nick Martinez is about to get there. Shane McClanahan is hurt. So I really think the Yankees have a chance with Judge back. They're 36-23 with Judge in the lineup. They've got a chance to catch the Rays over the next few weeks. They play four in the season's final week.
And then in a World Series exacta.
Yeah, I didn't like the Phillies at plus 1,400. So I decided to pair them up with the Yankees, who I think are the best team in the AL going into the playoffs. The Phillies right now, if you look at the shape of them, Gil, they look so much like last year's Dodgers. It's scary. I think this is a chance for them, plus 6,500 to face the Yankees and beat them in the World Series.
65-1, Phillies over Yankees. Joe calls his shot. All right, Joe, thank you. Appreciate it so much.
Thanks, fellas.
Joe Sheehan, best in the business. Jeff Erickson, among his many accomplishments, of course, is a co-host of course, Prop Points, not necessarily this time of year, but other times of year, which he does it with Nick Whalen. But what he is really all about, and he doesn't brag about this ever, he is the founder of RotoWire, co-founder of RotoWire. Let's give him his flowers, as the kids say. It's Jeff Erickson, everybody. You can follow him on Twitter at Jeff_Erickson. That's Jeff with a J. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Gil. Good morning, Kelly. Kelly, great to see you a week and a half ago at Circa there. Wish I could have hung out with the late night crowd. I heard the craps table was pretty hot, but missed out on that experience there.
It was, but it was a party in Barry's. It was a party. There was like 90 people from the contest week down at Barry's one night.
Where was I?
You were not here.
Huh. Oh, I was not here?
Yeah. Yeah, you weren't here.
Here in Vegas?
Yeah. Oh. Okay. No. That weekend you were. Yeah. I don't know why you were.
No one calls me.
I don't know why you weren't Friday night.
Jeff. To the few people on earth, to the few fantasy leagues that have yet to have their fantasy draft that are having it tonight, you say to those leagues what?
Hey, make sure you just read everything that the last second there, because there's always injuries. There's always something new that's happening there. Like the whole New England running back situation, that's changing some of our ranks there, for instance. It doesn't look like Henderson's going to be able to play. It looks like Stevenson will be the lead guy, and he might be the lead guy for a while too. That's where we finished the season with him in the playoffs when Henderson was healthy. So little things like that are always huge. I would always say, like, go in, if you know your draft slot, know the league rules, know how, cause every league is different. And know exactly, have a little bit of a plan. You don't have to be like wired out. Okay. I got to take a receiver here. I got to take a running back there, but have a general idea how you want to tackle the player pool.
Okay. Before we get to baseball, because I know you have a bunch of baseball for us, What is the most outlying Jeff Erickson season long NFL take? What do you believe that you haven't heard much from elsewhere on the same level?
Okay, I am a Rashee Rice fader. I don't have any shares of him in my 20 plus leagues. He would have to fall into the late fifth round for me to draft him this year. And I know that could keep me up at night. I mean, he could have a great year with the Chiefs, but I have plenty of layers of skepticism with him, whether it's his own health. He looked really stiff at the start of training camp, coming back from yet another procedure. You know, one misstep and he may be out of the league. I have concerns about whether Patrick Mahomes is going to be the full Patrick Mahomes right away off the jump. And after week one, the schedule does lighten up for the Chiefs, but they finish really in a tough spot as well. So I really don't have a whole lot of the Chiefs offense this year.
Okay, let's go to Major League Baseball. Today we have a prop. You have a Freddy Peralta prop, and it's at 4.5. His K's are at 4.5. How are you playing Freddy Peralta, over or under?
I'm taking the over. I'm taking the over on Freddy Peralta's K's at 4.5. -111 at FanDuel is the best price I saw. Since joining the Rays, he's nearly doubled his K per nine and nearly cut his walks in half. He's just throwing more strikes. It's almost like the Rays are good at this and getting the most out of their pitchers. And I think that continues today against Atlanta. You know, it's a tougher step up for him for sure. But I like almost everything that he has done. In the last three starts, he's been a lot better of a pitcher. Is bumpy at first, but keep in mind, his first Rays start was at Coors Field. His second one was in Sacktown, and it was steaming hot. So you start there, and you look at his game log, and you're like, okay, the Rays didn't fix him yet. Well, you look at what he's done recently, he's been a lot better. And he went one inning too long in a start against Baltimore, but the K to walk has been so much better, 17-1 in his last three outings.
Rays and Braves, each respectively with four-game leads in their divisions. Rays 4 games over the Yankees, Braves 4 games over the Phillies. 18 games left for the Braves, 19 left for the Rays, so they have a bit of a cushion here as they start this interleague set. And they, of course, have designs on the respective number one seeds in their leagues. Rays in the driver's seat right now in the American League. Braves still got to get past the Brewers and the Dodgers, by the way, as well. But a number two seed would be just as dandy, not just as dandy, but also great to have that bye and miss the best of three to start the postseason. Okay.
Against the Cubs, no less.
Against the Cubs, no less. That's right. That's brutal. Okay. You have a team total today. Are we going to Sacktown, I believe?
We are. And hey, I'm going to keep going back to this well. And Jack Perkins at home is the real factor here. Jack Perkins has skills. He has someone that I think could have been quality pitcher in this league. He still knows how to miss bats, 116 strikeouts in 98 innings this year. But if you look at the home road splits, he's getting butchered at home. 7.04 ERA, 1.60 WHIP. The A's have moved him up and down out of the rotation into the bullpen for a while. He was a closer, then he wasn't. They just really don't have a cohesive plan with him, and I think it's really messed with his results this year. They just sent him down, but then they had to call him back up because JT Ginn went on the IL with an elbow injury. So Perkins back in the lineup, back in the rotation today, starting against the Jays. I was going to think about you could also take a look at the total in the game. It's 9.5, but Jose Soriano is on the mound for the Blue Jays, and I think at least he's one of their better pitchers. So we'll avoid that aspect of it there and just go with the team total on the Blue Jays against the A's instead. Right. Too many Rays and Jays and A's in my mind. I keep conflating.
I didn't get a Blue Jays win with Dylan Cease on the hill yesterday, but I do have the Red Sox with 5 wins here in September. Blue Jays with 4, so both in contention. All right, I have 2 pre-flop season win totals, neither of which is on the right side of 500 right now. I have the under 79.5 on the Guardians. They're a game over 500. How, I have no idea. And then there's the Rangers, who I have over 83.5 on. They're 71-73. So these are still in play, but they're not feeling very good. But you are on the Rangers today?
Yeah, this is a Bryce Miller fade. He's in the rotation only because Emerson Hancock landed on the IL with a groin issue. And the Mariners, they're stubborn. They stick with the 6-man rotation. They trade away Luis Castillo, but then they call up Cade Anderson. The whole Mariners season is a study in frustration. You want to talk about a team that is underachieved. The Tigers are there, the Mets are there, but here are the Mariners deserve their scorn as well. And Bryce Miller, after coming back from the IL to start the season, was really brilliant for about 6 weeks. He hasn't been the same pitcher since then. He was okay in his last time out, still gave up a decent number of base runners, couldn't get through five. We're getting plus money on the Rangers to win straight up. I know Cody Bradford hasn't been great on the in his own right since coming back, but at plus 122 on FanDuel, I think the Rangers are at least the equal of the team as the Mariners, and I'm fading Bryce Miller.
Mariners the most disappointing team in all of baseball this year, would you say, Jeff?
Right there with the Mets and the Tigers. Tigers, I mean, they deserve a little extra scoring because they were right there, and then they decided to sell off at the trade deadline anyhow. And you can simultaneously like what they got in the Scooble deal and hate that they made it in the first place.
Yeah. Mariners 5.5 out of a wild card, 6 out of the division now. It is looking bleak for the Seattle Mariners. Jeff fading them with the Rangers today. And then finally, we have a wild card race, obviously, in both leagues. The NL one is kind of mano a mano right now for that third wild card spot between the Diamondbacks and the Padres. What are you doing here? How are you betting this?
So it's interesting because I want to talk a little Diamondbacks. I want to use this as a platform to talk about them. 77-68 this year. They're kind of beating the odds. They have an exactly even run differential on the season. Their starting pitching isn't great. We're talking about Aaron Judge coming back, but Corbin Burnes makes his return today as well. And this was a little bit of a surprise because he had a setback earlier. Probably is not going to go very deep in this game. I think he threw like 43 pitches in his last outing, which wasn't even a rehab start. It was this simulated game, basically. But he's trying to jump in and try and jump in time for the playoff race here. I think the Diamondbacks are a fascinating team because, you know, the Ketel Marte thing has been a big mess. The guy that opened the year as the closer is no longer on the team again. This is like a Diamondbacks thing that they do. Their starting pitching is just lukewarm, and yet here they are 9 games over 500. They're like the anti-Mariners.
Jeff Erickson, everybody. Jeff, sorry I missed you when you were here, man. Would like to have met you in person for the first time. Always appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Jeff Erickson, everybody. Jeff_Erickson. And not the G-E-O-F-F, as we always say.
That's right.
But the real Jeff, with the J. I don't know which is realer. I just felt like saying. Mark Borchard, he is Base Winner. You can follow him at basewinner.com. He joins us now from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert. The great Base Winner. Mark, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Gil. I'm really excited about this season. It's been really fun. The whole month market has just been incredible. I was just really bummed out because I was looking forward to doing last month I rolled out this division probability thing and it was cool. But the DraftKings is not doing division odds this month, which I hope that they bring that back. I think that maybe it's because of the football season and, you know, people care more about, I guess, this game coming up. I can't even tell you what night. Is it Wednesday night or Thursday night, Gil?
Both.
I can't even tell you what night it is, right? They're playing both times. So, but then the division win total markets. But that was a real fun one, and because you could go back and forth during the month. But anyway, I think there's still value, Gil, in this to win the division market. I'm showing the Dodgers, and let me see if I can pull that up here. And this is based on their component ratings. You know, they're the best team in baseball by a long way. I've got them 1.88 run differential for this particular month. And that's based on all the advanced stats that I use. And the next team is the Phillies at 1.21. So, you know, you might roll your eyes at this projection for me, but I have them at 71% to win this, the monthly race, or they have the best record rather. And so that's minus 244 and they're plus 140. So, I mean, I think it's an incredible overlay. And I think that people, and you look at their schedule too, it kind of makes sense. I think they play the Giants 25 times out of the last 26 games, but yeah. Which is good, which will help them. But that's the one thing for the monthly market that I'm seeing that the Dodgers are still, even though that they're only plus 140, but you say only, man, you know, if you can get plus 140, I think it's a good bet.
Are you suggesting that the San Francisco Giants are not good at baseball? Is that what I got out of that? Interesting.
It seems like with the Giants, I've been playing them over in the first half a lot. It's like so offensively, which is weird because I have them offensively like 30th, but I'm still playing them over. So it's an interesting thing. And it just goes to show you, you know, the line sometimes, the line's just not priced right. So that's the thing that strikes me about the Giants on that one.
Two rapid fire questions. One, the gentleman who tweeted earlier about the Guardians. What is your outlook on them for the rest of the season?
Well, I think they're a good value to win the division still. I've got them at -155, and I think they're +120 in the playoff market. And then not as much in the division. I think they're +400. They should be +365. But again, it comes back to the combined ratings, and I'm looking at Cleveland, and I'm seeing the fifth in starting pitching, which has been true since the All-Star break. They're in base winner ERA, they're fifth. If you look at K minus BB, that probably translates as well. Relief pitching is 10th and fielding is number one. And I don't think, and offensively, they're not good. They're 25th, but I think you throw everything into the mixer and I will stand by that. And I know why the guy asked me that, Gil, because it seems like I play Cleveland every day and I do. But I think that the numbers support it. But what I wanted to talk about, Gil, if you don't mind,
please,
me hijacking the segment, is you really broke down that manager of the year really well yesterday. And after saying that, I totally disagree with you, because I think that Lovello should be in consideration for this. You know, you're looking at a Diamondbacks team have been bottom five in my starting pitching ratings for probably the last two and a half months. And if you look at since the All-Star break, this is an interesting stat. K minus BB starting pitching from the All-Star break, you've got the Diamondbacks 29th and the Padres 30th. So, I mean, these two teams are in contention. Oh, by the way, I think San Diego is still a little bit of value over the Diamondbacks. But I think if the Diamondbacks get in, based on the fact that their starting pitching is bottom five, the relief pitching is about middling, and the offense is decent to maybe a top 10 offense. But the other thing too, and so if you can manage a crappy team into the playoffs, I think that warrants consideration for manager of the year, Gil.
Okay.
And the other thing too is Ketel Marte, which is one of the weirdest situations I've ever seen in baseball. The guy went AWOL and then he was playing cards at the casino. And so, like, you could tell that Lovello was really bothered by that, but he handled it really good. All he said was, if it was me, I wouldn't be in the casino playing cards while my team is playing baseball. And so he handled that well without admonishing the player. And so now Marte's back. And so anyway, I think Lovello should be the manager of the year if the D-backs get into the playoffs.
Mark, you know me, I just simply presented the facts and then I let the hate wash over me like you have done right here. I wouldn't say,
hey, those were really well-researched ideas. Thank you. And it's hard to disagree with them because they're fact-based. Yeah. and they're historically based. But my whole contention is I think that maybe you should look and see what the guy has done with the chicken salad, the chicken S, he's turned into chicken salad, right? So that's good.
Mark, you have 45 seconds. What are your plays of the day, sir?
Okay, this is speaking of the Padres bullpen, or the Padres starting pitching being bad, 29th in baseball. This guy's been awful, Casey Mize. And I'm going to go with the first five, Washington. I've got him plus a half a run, -114. I think it should be like plus a half a run, -150. Now that's my play. And then the parlay, Gil, the Miz and Scooble. Doesn't get any chalkier than that,
yeah.
But the numbers support this, and it's even money, and I think that's a steal with Mizorowski and Scooble tonight.
The Miz Scooble money line parlay. Steve Fezzik's head just exploded off his body. Mark, love you. Appreciate it. Thank you so much, man.
Yo, my pleasure. Thanks.
Mark Borchardt, base winner, everybody. I love the baseball guys like Borchardt and Sporer. They are so locked into baseball. That they're like, when does football start again?
Whatever.
Is it tomorrow? Is it the next? It's both. And no idea. None. Paul Carr, Champions League plays next on A Numbers Game right here at VSiN. Mark Borchardt, he is base winner. You can follow him at basewinner.com. He joins us now from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert. The great base winner. Mark, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Gil. I'm really excited about this season. It's been really fun. The whole month market has just been incredible. I was just really bummed out because I was looking forward to doing. Last month I rolled out this division probability thing, and it was cool. But the DraftKings is not doing division odds this month, which I hope that they bring that back. I think that maybe it's because of the football season, and you know, people care more about, I guess, this game coming up. I can't even tell you what night. Is it Wednesday night or Thursday night, Gil?
Both.
I can't even tell you what night it is, right? Yeah, they're playing both times. So, but then the division win total markets. But that was a real fun one, and because you could go back and forth during the month. But anyway, I think there's still value, Gil, in this to win the division market. You know, I'm showing the Dodgers, and let me see if I can pull that up here. And this is based on their component ratings. You know, they're the best team in baseball by a long way. I've got them 1.88 run differential for this particular month. And that's based on all the advanced stats that I use. And the next team is the Phillies at 1.21. So, you know, you might roll your eyes at this projection for me, but I have them at 71% to win this, the monthly race, or they have the best record rather. And so that's -244 and they're +140. So, I mean, I think it's an incredible overlay. And I think that people, and you look at their schedule too, it kind of makes sense. I think they play the Giants 25 times out of the last 26 games, and which is good, which will help them. But, that's the one thing for the monthly market that I'm seeing, that the Dodgers are still, even though that they're only +140, but you say only, man, you know, if you can get +140, I think it's a good bet.
Are you suggesting that the San Francisco Giants are not good at baseball? Is that what I got out of that? Interesting.
It seems like with the Giants, I've been playing them over in the first half a lot. It's like so offensively, you know, which is weird because I have them offensively like 30th, but I'm still playing them over. So it's an interesting thing. And it just goes to show you, you know, the line sometimes, you know, the line's just not priced right. So that's the thing that strikes me about the Giants on that one.
Two rapid fire questions. One, the gentleman who tweeted earlier about the Guardians, what is your outlook on them for the rest of the season?
Well, I think they're good value to win the division still. I've got them at -155, and I think they're +120 in the playoff market. And then not as much in the division. I think they're +400. They should be +365. But again, it comes back to the combined ratings, and I'm looking at Cleveland, and I'm seeing the fifth in starting pitching, which has been true since the All-Star break. They're in base winner ERA, they're fifth. If you look at K minus BB, that probably translates as well. Relief pitching is 10th and fielding is number one. And I don't think, and offensively they're not good. They're 25th, but I think you throw everything into the mixer and I will stand by that. And I know why the guy asked me that, Gil, because it seems like I play Cleveland every day, and I do. I think that the numbers support it. But what I wanted to talk about, Gil, if you don't mind,
please,
me hijacking the segment, is you really broke down that manager of the year really well yesterday. And after saying that, I totally disagree with you, because I think that Lovello should be in consideration for this. You know, you're looking at a Diamondbacks team have been bottom five in my starting pitching ratings for probably the last two and a half months. And if you look at since the All-Star break, this is an interesting stat. K minus BB starting pitching from the All-Star break, you've got the Diamondbacks 29th and the Padres 30th. So, I mean, these two teams are in contention. Oh, by the way, I think San Diego's still a little bit of value over the Diamondbacks. But I think if the Diamondbacks get in, based on the fact that their starting pitching is bottom five, the relief pitching is about middling, and the offense is decent to maybe a top 10 offense. But the other thing too, and so if you can manage a crappy team into the playoffs, I think that warrants consideration for manager of the year, Gil.
Okay.
And the other thing too is Ketel Marte, which is one of the weirdest situations I've ever seen in baseball. The guy went AWOL, and then he was playing cards at the casino. And so, like, you could tell that Lovello was really bothered by that, but he handled it really good. All he said was, if it was me, I wouldn't be in the casino playing cards while my team is playing baseball. And so he handled that well without admonishing the player. And so now Marte's back. And so anyway, I think Lovello should be the manager of the year if the D-backs get into the playoffs.
Mark, you know me, I just simply presented the facts and then I let the hate wash over me like you have done right here. I wouldn't say
hey, those were really well-researched ideas. And it's hard to disagree with them because they're fact-based. Yeah. and they're historically based. But my whole contention is I think that maybe you should look and see what the guy has done with the with the you know, the chicken salad, the chicken S, he's turned into chicken salad, right? So that's good.
Mark, you have 45 seconds. What are your plays of the day, sir?
Okay, this is, speaking of the Padres bullpen, or the Padres starting pitching being bad, 29th in baseball. This guy's been awful, Casey Mize. And I'm going to go with the first five, Washington. I've got him plus a run, plus a half a run, minus 114. I think it should be like plus a half a run, minus 150. Now that's my play. And then the parlay, Gil, the Miz and Scooble. Doesn't get any chalkier than that, yeah. But the numbers support this, and it's even money, and I think that's a steal with Mizorowski and Scooble tonight.
The Miz Scooble moneyline parlay. Steve Fezzik's head just exploded off his body. Mark, love you. Appreciate it. Thank you so much, man.
Yo, my pleasure. Thanks.
Mark Borchardt, base winner, everybody. I love the baseball guys like Borchardt and Sporer. They are so locked into baseball. That they're like, when does football start again? Whatever. Is it tomorrow? Is it the next? It's both. And no idea. None. Paul Carr, Champions League plays next on A Numbers Game right here at VSiN. Speaking of coming up soon, we have Champions League game coming up soon. We gotta get Let's Paul go. Carr's plays. Paul Carr joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Paul Carr, True Media Networks, Director of Operations and all things that go on inside the walls of True Media Networks under the roof. Yeah. Above. Yeah. Okay,
roof,
Paul,
walls. Yep.
Good morning to you, sir, first of all. Thank you for doing this.
Hello.
Can you explain again to the sort of novice American betting audience what exactly the Champions League is?
Yeah, this is essentially the NCAA tournament. If instead of the NCAA, we have all of Europe. So you've got the top 1 to 5 teams from most of the leagues in Europe, all in this 36 team group stage first. You play 8 games and the top 24 move on to the knockout rounds, which start in January or February. So yeah, it's essentially the NCAA tournament, but played concurrently with all the league seasons rather than a postseason tournament.
Okay. And then it begins today. Today's the first day. It
starts today. Yeah. Which feels early, but Labor Day has messed everything up. We start in 10 minutes here, basically.
Oh, well, hold on. Okay. Well, let's do that first then. What's the pick in 10 minutes?
I'm taking Club Bruges to beat Aston Villa. I played this at plus 150 this morning. I've seen it inch up to plus 160 some places, so check your books. This is a fade of Aston Villa, largely. They talked about them. They didn't score against Hull over the weekend, which was good for us. But they've really struggled so far this season, lost their top couple scorers, haven't found their rhythm yet. And Bruges is generally pretty good at home in the Champions League. They drew Barcelona, they drew Atletico last season, they beat Monaco, they beat Marseille, which are decent French teams. So Club Bruges to win this one at home. They've got a new keeper, Yann Sommer, who played for Inter Milan, has a lot of Champions League experience. So I'll take Bruges to win this. I got it at plus 150, but you can probably find a little better now.
Aston Villa, of course, is the Prem. Kelly, where's Club Bruges from?
I don't know. France League One.
No, Belgium.
It's a neighboring country.
Good call.
Belgium. What league do they play in?
Belgian Pro League. Next
sure.
Door.
Don't
make that sound
it's
again.
Good effort.
That was a long groan you had going there.
I was trying to think.
That's trying to stretch long. It out there.
Club Bruges to beat Aston Villa. That starts in less than 10 minutes. Sorry about that, y'all. Plus 150 on Club Bruges. Let's go to the other two plays while we have you here. What do you got it otherwise?
Yeah, these are both tomorrow. We'll take under 2.5 in Napoli Arsenal. This is all about Arsenal. They've had the best defense in the world for a year or two and still have it, it looks like. We're runner up in Champions League last year. So I think they're just going to grind this one out. You know, they're on the road. Would love to win this one 1-0 as Arsenal kind of does. It's fairly straightforward there. Napoli's off to a so-so start in Serie A in Italy. They lost over the weekend. They lost 2 out of 3, rather. To start Serie A. I mean, they're fine. They're one of the better teams there, but they're not a high-flying sort of team either. So Arsenal will keep this one tight, not let Napoli do a lot. I don't think we'll see many goals here. Under 2.5, minus 110.
Napoli and Arsenal, under 2.5 goals. And then PSG versus Slovan Bratislava. Slovan Bratislava from?
Slovenia League One.
Slovakia.
Dang it. I was close.
Did you say Slovenia? Were you combining Slovakia and Slovenia and trying to get either way?
That's exactly what he was doing.
Exactly.
He's trying to split the difference. All right, what do you have in that one?
All right. This is the rare, you get to lay 3.5 goals opportunity here. I'll lay the 3.5 with PSG at even money. This game's tomorrow. PSG is PSG again. They've won the last couple Champions League titles. Slavon Bratislava is one of the probably three worst teams in this league phase. They had to scrape by Celtic in the playoffs to get here and were really outplayed for the most part, but got through a little bit lucky there. They have won 8 straight Slovakian league titles. They have a new manager, Yaya Toure. Some people will remember from playing with Manchester City and Ivory Coast. But, I mean, last year, Slovan was in the Conference League, which is the third tier, you know, the CBI of European soccer. They did not get out of the league phase there. And that's obviously not a good sign now that they're in essentially the NCAA tournament to get out. And they're playing maybe the best team, the favorite or co-favorite, depending on your odds. So I will lay 3.5 with PSG at home getting even money.
Okay.
Paul, have you ever laid 3.5 goals before on the show?
I think he has.
We have? Yeah. Okay.
Definitely in like U.S. Women's World Cup, like when they played Thailand and ended up winning 13-0, that was a pretty easy, it might have been 4 or 5.5 in that one. Probably in some Champions League game like this before. I think Bayern last year against somebody might have done that. So yeah, but it's only these opportunities like that kind of early rounds of tournaments.
Are you, we were just, what were you, what was your hypothetical off air? You were like, if the NFL, what was that story?
If the NFL, I was just saying the World Cup did such a great job.
Yeah.
That if the NFL, I'm not, I said like if they didn't play this season, let's say it started like in 2 months.
Yeah.
I'd be really jacked up about soccer here for the first couple months, because, like the Champions League and the Premier League.
Because the World Cup sucked you in.
They did a great job. Yeah. Right? They did a great job of building the soccer excitement.
Building the soccer.
NFL just wipes it out. Yeah.
Yeah. NFL wipes it all out. I don't know if you know this, but the Super Bowl's on Valentine's Day. Speaking of wiping out stuff this year.
Yeah, seriously. You have to start greasing the wheels to figure out that one. Yeah.
There's no greasing of any wheels. Just happened. Too bad. Gone. All right. Odds to win the Champions League. I don't know if you have any thoughts on this. Paris Saint-Germain is the short shot, as is Barcelona, Kelly.
Yeah, these are tight.
As is Arsenal. Yeah. You have three co-favorites, all at plus 550. Bayern Munich only at 6-1, so really close as well. Real Madrid plus 650, the usual suspects, basically, right?
Yep. Yeah, there's nothing interesting here to me. I mean, if even if you don't know anything, you look at this, you can tell it's kind of a big shrug emoji, which is true. And frankly, these odds will look almost identical in January because, like I said, 24 out of 32 teams go through. So if someone, if you finish top 8, you get a bye to the round of 16. So there is a slight advantage there. So one or two of these teams might slip back and have to play an extra round, but chances are that's not against a very good team relatively. So yeah, so these odds are going to look basically the same. I don't have anything interesting here, unfortunately. I'll wait until January and I see a little more of all these teams.
I would imagine same applies here to nationality of winner. England plus 150, Spain 2-1, France plus 475, so on and so forth.
Yeah, I mean, the top couple you could maybe talk me into just because you have more teams. I mean, France, you're really just talking PSG. So just take PSG if you like that. Germany, you're really just talking Bayern. So just take Bayern at a better number if you like that. I mean, England does have, you know, you could squint and make a case for up to 4 teams probably. And Spain, it's like 2.5, depending on how you feel about Atletico. So those aren't, I don't hate those. But again, this point in the season when I've barely seen any of these teams, I'm not looking to jump on any of them.
Patrick Kelly reporting that Bruges immediately goes from plus 155 to plus 150. Starts in 5 minutes.
There you go. Yep. Paul Carr moving
your
things.
Bets in. Paul, thank you as always. Well, I guess we'll talk to you later in the week for the Prem. Yes.
Sounds good. Yep.
Let's do it. Paul Carr, everybody. At Paul Carr. Again, True Media Networks is where he does his thing. Very excited for his Dolphins to embark on what could be. Oi. That's his review of the Dolphins. Oi. Their season, of course, kicks off here in Las Vegas on Sunday. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.